fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Week 7 waiver wire. Should we spell that W-E-E-K or W-E-A-K 7 waiver wire? What do you think?
I thought you were going to say, do we spell it W-A-V-E-R for waiver wire? Because a lot of fantasy owners are waving their seasons goodbye.
Oh,
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I had Aaron Rodgers and Odell Beckham on the same team.
Oh, what's your record?
I'm 1-5. Thank you very much.
It's only going to get worse, buddy.
Yeah.
You're 1-5 before that?
But I was 1-3 going in. I had some. It's the IDP league that we're in. Just had some tough luck. Ran into some huge lineups, and now I'm in big trouble.
Well, we're going to help everybody, including the 1-5 owners. But the 1-5 owners should probably consider a little FanDuel. And if you go on FanDuel.com and click the Join Now button and use our code CBSPOD, you get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes. That's a great way to get started for free and a chance to win some money. Make your first deposit on FanDuel. Use the code CBSPOD, and that's void where prohibited. Oh, pretty fun game last night, huh?
Yeah.
Lots of kicks.
Yeah. I will not lie. Did not see the game. So I was at the Yankees game.
Woo! They win? I guess they won.
They won. It was awesome. It was great.
I didn't even know they were playing Houston.
They're playing Houston, believe it or not.
Yeah, they were playing. I thought they were still playing Cleveland. So I was mocking somebody about the Yankees, and I said, just for that, go Indians. And they were like, you idiot. They already beat the Indians. They actually came back to destroy the Indians.
Bird.
Like, oh, didn't even know.
You got him, Dave. Care. Way to go. Only two teams on bye this week. The, you know, best offense ever, Houston and Detroit. So some very good fantasy players are on bye this week. I'm going to ask you for your top waiver wire priorities, but we're going to do it a little bit differently today. Instead of asking you for your top three overall, I want your top three by position. I want to give some more names at the start of the show instead of making everybody wait 40 minutes before we get to the good stuff here. But, you know, we'll expand, I think, a little bit later on these guys, a little bit more on these guys later in the show. Jamie, who are the top three quarterbacks that you're looking at on the waiver wire this week?
The first one is, I think, probably consensus is Tyrod Taylor. It sucks that he doesn't have even a good receiving core, but I don't know if it matters against Tampa Bay. They've been so bad against opposing quarterbacks. And I think between the group of Nick O'Leary, Brandon Tate, Andre Holmes, Zay Jones, and certainly LeSean McCoy at the backfield, he will be able to get enough production there, plus what he'll do with his legs. He's been 21 fantasy points in each of his two home games. And again, the Bucs stink. He would be one. C.J. Beathard would be two, which kind of shows you where the position's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the matchup for him against Dallas. They've been awful against quarterbacks of late. He looked okay. In replace of Brian Hoyer last week. They're going home after the three straight road games. So I like Beathard's situation. Plus, you could potentially get by with him long term, as we've seen Hoyer have some big games of late. And then the third guy is more of a rest of season approach as opposed to a week 7 approach. It's Andy Dalton, just because he's 60% owned. And prior to their bye week, he was averaging 23 fantasy points a game since Bill Lazor took over.
Wow, I guess that settles it. I'm going to have to trade for a quarterback to replace Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's not great. And the thing with Dalton, Jamie mentioned this on a previous podcast, he goes bad matchup, good matchup, bad matchup, good matchup, bad matchup, good matchup. It's like you don't get a stretch where you're going to feel comfortable starting Dalton. Maybe you will. Maybe injuries change things. But this week at Pittsburgh, they give up the third fewest. Next week, Indianapolis, they give up the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Then Jacksonville, they're the best against quarterbacks. Then the Titans, they actually give up the third most. I'm sorry, Indianapolis gives up the fourth most. Then Denver, then Cleveland. You see how it goes. So for Jamie, it was Tyrod Taylor, C.J. Beathard, and Andy Dalton. I also want to throw Andrew Luck's name in there. He's 78% owned and hopefully back in a few weeks. And you shot down this idea, Jamie, of Trevor Siemian off the air. I asked you what you thought about him. 51% owned or something like that. And he's got the Chargers. So you'd rather have like Beathard over Siemian?
Yes.
Dave?
I don't want either one of them.
No, nobody
does. I guess I'll take the devil I don't know and Beathard than the one that I do with Siemian. Siemian without Emmanuel Sanders, by the way.
Yeah, without Emmanuel Sanders.
And his right tackle.
Yeah, and Jordan Matthews. You know, you talk about Tyrod Taylor. There's a chance Matthews plays this week, right?
It doesn't sound like it, but he's getting closer. He was at practice catching passes one-handed. He still has not been able to catch with the injured thumb.
Okay. All right, Dave, three running backs to prioritize this week.
Darren McFadden still has to be number one. He's still available in over 40% of CBS leagues, and I think he's going to end up getting a meaningful role, if not the every down role, in place of Ezekiel Elliott. And I know that we don't know Zeke's situation and that he's definitely 100% going to be suspended, but I think it's starting to look that way. I think he's going to exhaust all these other ways in the courts, and I just don't think it's going to work out. So getting McFadden and then either flipping him for something that you need or keeping him if you need an insurance policy for Ezekiel or any other running back, I think he's worth doing. That's number one.
I will say, just to not to cut you off, but most people that are going to make their waiver claims are going to know Elliott's situation because it's going to be by 4 o'clock today.
Hopefully.
So you're going to know by the time you put in your claims tonight if McFadden is worth it. Because if Elliott plays this week, then it's not the same priority.
Do you really? So if he plays this week, but he could still be suspended, you don't go and get McFadden?
Right now, I would spend 50% of my $5 on McFadden if I'm going to get him for six games. If Elliott's playing this week, that goes to 20% at most.
But he could still play six games. It just might not start this week.
It may not start ever. So that's the thing I think you got to gauge is how much are you willing to buy in on.
I hear you.
A situation that we just don't know.
I think it's fair to say that as of now, McFadden is number one. Orleans Darkwa is number two for me.
I think he's still number one.
But it could change.
Yeah, it's just the emphasis on it.
Orleans Darkwa, number two. You got to like the workload that he had against Denver. And I actually thought that Giants offensive line looked pretty good for him.
Whatever.
You don't like
it?
Bitter Giants fan, your team got a win, and this is how you react?
I couldn't believe anything that happened in that game.
It was a ridiculous game.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen again, and I think that Darkwa is going to get the big opportunity.
Okay.
Alex Collins is third. He's a little bit more of a long-term guy. I think the Ravens are eventually going to realize that Javoris Allen is Javoris Allen. He can do a lot of good things. Collins can do some great things, and he'll eventually be their running back.
Yeah, now we're just kind of talking about players who are owned in 65% of leagues or less on CBS Sports, but you also have Derrick Henry, who's 80% owned. He was started in only 9% of leagues last night, had a massive game. You had Rob Kelly.
He had
Kelly.
A massive run.
A little more work. You have Rob Kelly, who's 69% owned. You've got Alfred Morris, who's 72% owned, although we're going to prioritize McFadden over him. So Dave gave you McFadden, Darkwa, and Alex Collins. There's a lot. So I'm looking forward to talking more about this position, but there's also Deion Lewis and Matt Forte and probably not Chris Ivory, but it's not the worst idea in the world. And Wendell
Thomas
Smallwood's 54% owned.
So, I didn't forget Thomas Rawls.
What'd you say?
I forgot
Thomas Rawls.
Thomas Rawls should be the second guy added this week.
Okay, Rawls we'll get to later. And wide receivers, Jamie, give me three.
I mean, the first one's John Brown. It's a very similar list to what we had last week. It's not exactly the best group of guys right now. But it depends kind of what you need, I think. Because if you're going for immediate need, John Brown and Nelson Agholor should be the first two guys you're looking at. Brown's clearly been more involved the last 3 weeks and scored each of the last two games. Agholor's got a pretty good track record right now of the games where he's been seven or more targets he's been successful in. And then if you just need for this week, the third guy I would say is Marquise Lee. He's been, I know Hearns has scored the touchdowns since Robinson's gone down, but he's only scored twice. Lee has been the more targeted guy. He's been the more involved guy and certainly should be is the number one receiver for the Jaguars. But if you're looking long term, the three I would say would be Marvin Jones because of the Golden Tate injury.
Yep.
Mike Williams because of the increased workload. At least that would be the hope. And Josh Doctson because it's very evident that the other two guys are just not getting the job done. And I think you see what Doctson is capable of, especially that he's the one getting red zone targets. So if they start to throw the ball a little bit more in the field and get him more involved, which is what Jay Gruden said yesterday, then I think you could see him really start to take off.
He's kind of like the Alex Collins at wide receiver. He's the guy you get and you just sit on and you wait.
Yeah, and so you mentioned short term would be John Brown, Nelson Agholor, Marquise Lee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Long term would be Marvin Jones, Mike Williams, Josh Doctson.
Yeah, and flip those two, Doctson over Williams.
Okay. Yeah, also Ted Ginn's interesting this week. He's got Green Bay, which we'll see the injury reports, but as of now, they're down four defensive backs.
Love Willie Snead this week.
Willie Snead, okay,
yep.
All right.
Slot receivers have destroyed the Packers.
Slot receivers have also destroyed the Colts. Yeah, and that would be Marquise Lee's matchup. So
and the Bucks.
And the Bucks. And would love to get Jordan Matthews back for this game.
What are you talking about? They have great slot receiver.
Which would be who?
I don't know.
Nick O'Leary?
Might be Tate.
Yeah. Tate's my favorite Bills receiver this week.
But keep an eye on Nick O'Leary, the tight end there. He's a sleeper.
Love Nick O'Leary.
Yep.
So, Dave, give me some tight ends for this week.
Yeah, Nick O'Leary won't make this list, but he's still somebody that I think you can use as a streamer if you're desperate. Austin Hooper.
Hooper
is my number one tight end. And I noticed that at Falcons games when he makes a catch, the crowd goes, "Ooh!"
Oh, they should be doing the Hooper thing.
What, the Hooper?
Hooper! It's so much better.
Yeah, he didn't do that. He's caught 12 of his 16 targets over the last two games. He's got the Patriots. I think this is a big-time get-right spot for all the Falcons who have been disappointing you in fantasy through the first 6 weeks of the season. I've got Tyler Kroft next. And I don't love it, but it's just how it is at tight end at this point. I like that he's caught 10 of his last 12 targets. He just had his bye week. We know Tyler Eifert's not coming back. Andy Dalton seems to like him. He had a 2-touchdown game a couple weeks ago. He's somebody you can land on this week and consider kind of on a week-to-week thing. He's not my favorite streaming tight end. Hooper would be better, but Hooper's already owned in like 60-some-odd percent of leagues. Kroft is out there in a ton of leagues. Zach Miller in Chicago is third. He caught a touchdown. It wasn't from Mitchell Trubisky. He only had 2 targets from Trubisky, but I think he's going to have a decent matchup against Carolina, and I think that's a game where they're going to have to throw more than they did last week against Baltimore. The Bears ran it over 50 times. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to throw it a lot more this week, and Zach Miller should see his targets go up.
Yeah, the Bears and the Giants, understandably, took a very different approach than what we had seen on offense. You know, they maybe just going to try to become like a running back by committee teams and just pound the ball, which is interesting. I mean,
right. Well, if they run it 50 times, then I don't mind the committee.
Yeah, exactly. So you went Hooper, Kroft, and Miller. Okay.
That's how I have it now. I might get talked into Miller over Kroft.
And
I love Nick O'Leary this week.
Not as much
Tampa
as Hooper.
Bay. It's a good matchup. Yeah. Not going to lie.
He's my second favorite one behind Hooper.
Yeah.
After those two, I don't think it's love.
Would you stick with him?
You as don't long see as Clay's being... out? Yes.
Really? You would?
As long as Clay's out.
All right.
That offense has kind of showed itself what it is with those receivers.
And you might be able to get Austin Seferian Jenkins. He's 75% owned. Evan Ingram is 78% owned. Jason Witten, 75%. Hunter Henry, 81%. So hopefully you can. And now would be a good time to trade for Jimmy Graham. You got the matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get the good matchup this week with the Giants. Does that scare you off Evan Ingram if he's out there? Like, would you go Hooper or Ingram? Ingram with the Seahawks and Hooper with the Patriots.
I mean, look, Ingram is going to just see so many targets.
He's like their number one receiver.
Hooper is, I think I have him back-to-back in my rankings. They're very close.
Gotcha.
Hooper just doesn't score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Ingram one spot higher.
Yeah. Now, do we expect Mohamed Sanu to play this week? Because that could actually hurt Hooper.
That's the biggest thing, because that's when Hooper's taken off is when
Sanu's been out.
So that's one thing that I would say. You still should take a chance on him because the Patriots are so bad against tight ends. But his ceiling gets lowered significantly if Sanu plays.
The Patriots have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 5 of 6 games. Jamie, how about some DSTs for the week? Not the best week for streaming DSTs, but who could we look at?
I completely disagree with you. I think it's a great week for streaming DSTs.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
You have the Bills against potentially Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they've played very well throughout the course of the season. Certainly they play well at home. And I know I seem to mention this a lot, but John Beeson mentioned this about Sean McDermott when they faced Carolina a couple weeks ago, and then they faced Atlanta. That McDermott knows the guys in that division very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's probably going to know Jameis' tendencies if he plays, and certainly probably Dirk Cutter's tendencies as a coordinator. So I think the Bills are very good. You have to buy into the Saints defense and how they played against Brent Hundley, even though they're on the road. They're available in 96% of leagues, so go get them.
They're a top 10 DST this week.
Totally agree. The Giants, I mean, we've seen Russell Wilson struggle at times, certainly on the road. You got to buy into the way that they looked last week as well.
No, you do?
Defensively?
Yeah.
You don't?
No, not
the pass rush turned around.
Yeah, so Denver's right tackle is awful, and Joey Bosa could have a huge game this week. And Jason Pierre-Paul had 3 sacks. They should have given him more help at right tackle. Well, I don't know, man. Giants were the worst team in football, you know, maybe the second worst team in football before Sunday night. I'm not sure how much has changed, but that's fine. I mean, look, the Bills at 30, the Bills are a good enough defense where they shouldn't even be considered a streamer at this point. They're 36% old.
Well, they're on a bye, so everybody dropped them.
Yeah.
But I think you look at the Dolphins. Their defense has been very good.
Yeah.
14% on the Jets. I mean, look, if you want to say buy into the team, it's not like the Dolphins' offense was fantastic against the Falcons, and they barely scored against the Jets the first time these two teams met. And then the Titans get the Browns.
All right, yeah, so good case.
There are a lot of streaming defenses this week.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It just, I guess some of the names of the defenses, like, you have to trust the Saints. You have to trust the Titans. You have to trust the Jets. You might have to
trust the Jets. Well, you should trust the Saints. They gave you your bonanza.
13 sacks and 7 interceptions in their last 3 games. How about that?
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all for the New Orleans Saints. They did give me the bonanza. It is officially a bonanza, by the way.
Yeah, where do I go and buy these dumb jelly beans?
I don't know. I think we might have to do it online. I'm not sure. Let's go to IDP. Dave, you got some IDP guys for our IDP listeners?
I do. Let's start with that Saints defense. Craig Robertson at linebacker got the start last week, had a huge game. Marshawn Lattimore has been playing outstanding, and he's falling into some good fantasy production. So I think he's someone that fantasy owners should go with. Adrian Amos, the defensive back with the Bears, has been putting up points each of his last 3 games. I think fantasy owners can buy into him. And Janoris Jenkins somehow is 4% owned in CBS Sports Leagues, and he is a good cornerback. He had obviously the pick 6 helped out his numbers last week. But he's put up some decent numbers along the way.
I don't know if there's much of a strategy for IDP, but you know, we play in an IDP league where you start 9 or 10 defensive players, so a lot of guys, 12-team league. I sort of use defensive backs. I think they're kind of interchangeable. I usually target the guys who go against interception-prone quarterbacks. Is that something you guys do?
Sure, but I also like being around. I like getting players that have some sort of consistency.
I only look at safeties.
Defensive backs?
Yeah.
No, I think you're missing the boat. I think there's some cornerbacks that are good, too. And it's not necessarily the best cornerbacks.
It's so fluky. You want the bad cornerbacks because they're the ones. Like,
right.
Janoris
Jenkins,
to me, is not a good IDP player because you're relying on him to get targets, which doesn't typically happen.
Right. So, you want the tackles.
You want to avoid the shutdown guys for sure. So, like, people go to Jalen Ramsey and they go to, Patrick Peterson because of their names, but they never do anything.
Janoris Jenkins, last 4 games, this is in our IDP league.
Week, so that doesn't...
Well, forget that, because that was a huge number. It's 19. But before that, it was 7, 9, 5.5. And then you take away the pick 6, and then he had 11.
That's good.
2 for the interception, 6 for the touchdown.
That's rare.
It is rare. But at least he's giving a 7 or more, 3 of his last 4. I'll take that. That's in a league where tackles count.
I'd rather get a box safety where you're going to get those tackles, because those are the things that are going to carry you.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on that. Tackles are, you know, more predictable. So, yeah, that would be an early look at the waiver wire. We'll go a little bit more in depth later on in the show. Here's an email of the day from Michael from an island in the Pacific.
It must be Fiji.
Beautiful. Does the signing of Adrian Peterson put David Johnson's return in question? What does AP signing do to David Johnson's keeper status?
His keeper status, it does absolutely nothing for. And if anything, Adrian Peterson, if he keeps playing like this, then he's going to keep the Cardinals afloat, and it might interest them in bringing back David Johnson.
Oh, they're bringing back David Johnson if he's healthy.
Yeah, dude, if they're 3-9, they're not going to bring him back. But right now, they're in the thick of things, and their offense looked a lot better with Adrian Peterson chugging away.
Sure.
And there's always the chance that AP doesn't make it to the time when David Johnson comes back from his
injury. It's almost like pass the baton, because Johnson will be back, and AP will be probably struggling at that point. Now, he was great.
He was ridiculous.
Hopefully he stays at this level. It's hard to sustain. He's got a great matchup this week. So hopefully he does it another week.
And Twitter poll. Yeah, it's okay. It's over. 5,382 votes. Despite Jamie's intentions to rig the election here, #Russia, Jamie is... try to get everybody to vote no on the was Detroit New Orleans a successful bonanza, but yes, 56% of the votes were yes, 44 no. You did well. You swung.
I don't
it.
Know where we went from though. Were you saying that it was we were gonna just kind of call this a tie? I think
I said I'd be willing to consider. I'd be willing to maybe call it a draw, but definitely not a loss.
There were so many players that did terrible in the game, though.
Yeah, but
there really weren't so many. There was just...
There were a bunch. Abdullah, Riddick.
There are a lot of players in the game. I mean, that's...
Michael Thomas had 3 catches for 11 yards.
Like, I think if you're going to go Breeze, Thomas, and Abdullah, those were the 3 guys that were started, I think, close to 70% of leagues or more. Abdullah, I'd have to check on.
Yeah, and they weren't great.
Those guys were not great. But the score suggests that he got it right. Well, so I think... Look, if we're gonna be technical, we lost.
Yeah.
So if you wanna hold your hat on that, that's fine.
I do.
But just know that when we have a questionable situation moving forward, we will go the other way.
Well, I'm not sure. So somebody gave us a suggestion to calculate the bonanza. Did you see this email?
No.
He assigned points to, like, if you get the number one wide receiver, you get 5 points. If you get a wide receiver in the top 12, you get 2 points. Wide receiver in the top 24, you get 1 point. And you have to get a total of 10 points for the bonanza. It's pretty interesting. This was Matt McHugh. Well, you know, we can talk about this on another show. But I'll forward you guys the email, the scoring system.
I feel like the bonanza is one of those things where...
You feel
you
it.
Know what it is when you see it.
That's how I felt too. It's like obscenity. You know it when you see it. All right. I felt like it was successful. So you guys got to get those Bean Boozles. I think Thursday's got to be the day. Hopefully, if you can't get it by Thursday, I want all of you on the show. If you can't get it by Thursday, we'll have to hold it off until next week. But I want you guys eating boogers before the end of the week. Injuries, news, and notes. So we could have more Ezekiel Elliott news this afternoon. The NFLPA has filed a request for a temporary restraining order to delay his 6-game suspension. But like we said, McFadden, Alfred Morris, they are priorities. And the next 6 games are at San Francisco, at Washington, Kansas City, at Atlanta, Philadelphia, and the Chargers. Aaron Rodgers had surgery. There's no timetable for his return, but you can definitely drop Aaron Rodgers, and you can try to do it without crying. Yeah, I know. I know. Aaron Jones played more than twice as many snaps as Ty Montgomery. Do you think that's something that would balance out as Montgomery's further removed from the injury?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially this week where they're probably chasing points, and pass-catching running backs have done much better against the Saints.
Leonard Fournette has a sprained ankle but is expected to play this week, but it's not a guarantee. They're at Indianapolis. Martavis Bryant denied requesting a trade. What do you think Martavis Bryant's ownership percentage should be?
Low 80s.
Okay.
I was going to say mid-70s, like 75%. But his start percentage shouldn't be any higher than like 5%.
I would love that weather, by the way. Low 80s, mid-70s. It's winter up here. In the friggin' 30s today.
You need a jacket in Atlanta?
I do.
Beautiful.
Golden Tate could miss a few weeks with a shoulder injury. They're on a bye this week. Then they have Pittsburgh, then at Green Bay, then Cleveland, then at Chicago. After the Pittsburgh games, pretty nice matchups for the Lions. So that's why Marvin Jones is a great guy to add. Atlanta head coach Dan Quinn said Julio Jones needs more targets. I agree, Dan Quinn. Jameis Winston sprained his AC joint in his shoulder. Right now he is expected to play at Buffalo. Emmanuel Sanders left with an ankle injury. He won't play this week. He's week to week. Trevor Siemian is expected to start at the Chargers. Tyreek Hill's in the concussion protocol. They've got the short week. They're at Oakland on Thursday.
I don't think he's in the concussion protocol.
He's not in the concussion protocol. He actually was at practice on whatever their walkthrough was yesterday.
Monday. Yeah.
Really?
He has a neck injury.
Okay. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
CJ Beathard.
We've got Tyreek Hill this week.
Now the starting quarterback for San Francisco. Yeah, Tyreek Hill. Are you going to start Tyreek Hill this week?
I might not have a choice.
He's a number two.
Would you start like Ted Ginn or Tyreek Hill?
Hill.
Don't start Jordan Matthews. Well, maybe start him if he plays, but don't expect it. Dustin Hopkins is out this week with a hip injury. Washington's kicker. Patrick Peterson.
Not out yet.
I just read that this morning.
I don't think he's expected to play.
That is true.
All right, Patrick Peterson left with a quad injury. He's expected to play, okay. Defensive tackle Xavier Williams left with a knee injury for Arizona. The Raiders signed Navarro Bowman. How interested are you in Bowman if he's available in IDP?
Very.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan denied the Carlos Hyde trade rumors. Teddy Bridgewater is going to come off the pup list.
It's the last time a coach
soon.
Admitted to trade rumors. Yeah, we've been trying to move him. Can't get any nibbles.
Kansas City signed CJ Spiller. It's because Sharkhandrick West is dealing with a concussion and probably won't play. And tell me if you expect the following players this week. Bilal Powell.
No.
No.
Terrence West.
No.
No.
Orleans Darkwa was on the injury report.
Yeah, I hope he plays.
Rob Kelly.
He's getting close. Wendell, as of now, he's not expected.
Wendell Smallwood.
Same thing.
Stephon Diggs.
Not expected to play.
Devontae Parker.
Not yet. With Diggs and Parker, we got to see just how much they practice this week.
All right. Kenny Stills caught a touchdown last week for the Dolphins. Jeremy Maclin.
No.
No.
Mohamed Sanu.
Not as of now.
Sterling Shepard.
Also not as of now.
All right, guys. You know, we really need to talk more about MVMT, about movement watches. Beautiful stuff. And we've got our movement watches. It's spelled MVMT watches. And the URL that you want to go to right now for a great deal, for 15% off, a really sharp, not too flashy, just like a high-quality, minimalist watch, the URL is mvmtwatches.com/ffootball. That is mvmtwatches.com/ffootball. Now, the first time I went to the website, I think we all were in the same boat. We were looking, I had so much trouble deciding which watch to buy because I liked so many of them, and I narrowed it down to about 8 watches that I really liked, all at a great price, even without the 15% discount. I had asked like 5 people. It was a lot of fun actually just shopping for the watch. And I finally got the watch and I love it. I get compliments all the time. And really, I'd never been a watch guy before. They were very expensive, but not movement watches. They start at just $95. You're not going to believe what kind of watch you can get for such great prices. So look, we really do love our movement watches. Become a watch guy. You're going to love it too. Go to mvmtwatches.com/ffootball. For 15% off and free shipping and free returns. Not a lot of risk here. Step up your watch game, mvmtwatches.com/ffootball. Join the movement. Thoughts on Sunday night, Giants Broncos. Thoughts on Monday night, Titans Colts. And then onto the dropometer and the waiver wire. What'd you think about the Giants beating the Broncos 23-10?
I think it was a great defensive performance by the Giants. And it was boring, 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 and more boring. It was frustrating for the Broncos running back situation.
Terrible.
Because you would have thought the way that the Giants have defended the run since Olivier Vernon's been banged up, that Anderson would have had a big day, and he did not.
He couldn't really get going, and he didn't get much of a chance to get going.
Yep.
Because he only had 9 carries.
No, this would be a big bounce back game for him, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CJ Anderson had 8 carries at Buffalo in week 3, and then he had 20 the next week. So yes, let's get him a big workload against one of the worst run defenses. Great game for Demaryius Thomas. I thought Jenkins covered him fairly well, and Thomas made some really good plays.
Mm-hmm.
10 catches for 133 yards and a fumble on 14 targets. And
especially
then,
he banged up.
He is banged up, but he played through it. And then, of course, it wasn't AJ Derby. It was Jeff Heuermann, but a tight end did catch a touchdown.
They were both standing in the end zone next to each other.
Right. And Derby was targeted earlier in the drive in the end zone. Benny Fowler, who was my big sneaky sleeper, had a couple of targets near and in the end zone. He played a ton. I would imagine he's going to keep playing now that Sanders is out, too.
Yep.
I'm going to save the Darkwa talk until we get to the running backs, but I do think he's pretty interesting. He's only 9% owned. They have Seattle this week, and then they have a bye, and then the Rams. So, look, I thought that this was a brutal matchup for the Giants running backs. We all did. And he ran for 117 yards on 21 carries. But
They stuffed 4 Pro Bowl running backs prior to this, and then they couldn't stop Orleans Darkwa.
Ezekiel Elliott had less than 10 yards against the Broncos. I don't know what happened. Like, the Broncos just took it for granted or something. It was a bad game for them. This game, though, Tennessee 36, Indianapolis 22, was an exciting finish. Following along, and I DVR'd it, so actually I'm probably going to watch the fourth quarter.
Save yourself some time.
Well, the fourth quarter was good, no?
It was all right.
All right. So Brissett had 15 fantasy points, but Mariota is really much more relevant here. What do you think about Mariota? 16 fantasy points, but not leaving the pocket, not running. Running is not a huge part of his game, like in terms of rushing yards and touchdowns. He's had, I think, 4 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years. He averages about 22 rushing yards per game over the last 2 years. But obviously his mobility is important for him. So can Marcus Mariota survive and be a number one quarterback in fantasy if he's playing hurt?
I think at this point you're just taking it week to week, and he's absolutely going to be a number one quarterback this week, or has the potential to.
He's playing at Cleveland. If he's not, then something's gone wrong.
Yeah. I think at this point, you just kind of have to hope that he's healthy. Hope that, he doesn't have a setback with the hamstring problem. And if you do want to be encouraged by it, that when he does get healthy, the running will start to creep up again, that he just threw for 300 yards in the game where he came back from a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm. He had season highs in completion percentage, and that was the only season high. He almost had a season high in yards per attempt. He fell 4/100ths of a yard shy of that.
And the other part of it would be is that hopefully Corey Davis is back soon. You know what that guy could potentially be when he's on the field. So I think you're just looking at somebody that if you're the Rodgers owner and Mariota was probably on a lot of people's benches, if you could buy him low, buy him low.
That's one guy to go and buy low. Here's my favorite Mariota stat. He's been sacked 3 times this year.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, he missed a game and a half, but still, that's really impressive. So at Cleveland, which should be great for him, and then a bye, and then hopefully after that bye, he's healthy. Unfortunately, the schedule gets kind of tough after the bye. But, you know, he's a good quarterback, Mariota. What do you guys make of the Titans running backs right now? Murray and Henry both getting similar workloads, both scoring. Henry does have the better game, but actually, he had 7 more carries than Murray. They got similar snap counts. What do you think?
They're making a big deal about he kept getting stretched on the sideline, that he might have been playing through some sort of hamstring injury. So something you definitely want to keep an eye on.
Which guy?
Murray.
Okay.
But like Dave said, you know, it's not, you don't want to buy into Henry's big run at the end there. What you would buy into with Henry is the workload. So a lot of people have been dropping Henry, certainly in 10 team leagues, which is why you see his ownership down to 80% because he was a 100% guy clearly coming out of the draft. And if in fact there is a time you want to use him, this is one of those weeks. I don't think he's a must-start guy because he's still going to be sharing touches with Murray, and we've fallen into this trap before when we've seen backup running backs not produce, even in games where you think they're going to blow the other team out. But if you are stuck, this could be one of those scenarios just because Cleveland's not very good. I know they've been okay against the run, but this is an offensive line that will wear them down. And if the Titans offense does what it's capable of doing and the defense does what it's capable of doing, in the fourth quarter, you could see a similar type situation with Henry where he's, you know, trying to salt the game away, and then he busts one through and scores.
Yeah, here's what I'm looking at is 2 weeks ago against Miami, DeMarco Murray had 55 snaps. Derrick Henry had 11. Yesterday against Indianapolis, they both had 39 snaps. That's according to Pro Football Focus.
But this is what they said coming into the week, though, was...
was that they were going to start to use them more. So they're following through. It's nice when a coaching staff doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have mixed results with that kind of stuff. Marlon Mack didn't get more work, you know? What, do you have 2 carries?
That's true.
Yeah, but that also, I think, could be, you know, game flow, is that they don't trust him in pass protection yet. And he's had a lot of, you know, you talk about this a lot, Adam. I don't know with Marlon Mack if you said it, but, you know, when guys are trying to hit the home run, mm-hmm. he does a lot of that.
Oh, that's the Tariq Cohen playbook. But I think they had plenty of opportunities. I mean, this was a close game. They had plenty of opportunities to give Marlon Mack more work, and they said they were going to, and they didn't. He had 2 damn carries, and you just can't trust it.
Do we know if he got hurt?
Same thing with Matt Breida. Yeah.
Turbin got hurt, so if you want to look at something with Mac moving forward, that could be something.
Yeah.
Turbin hurt his elbow.
Okay, so you'd rather have Murray rest of season than Henry, I assume?
It's close, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I have both, I'm still starting Murray this week. And I think Murray's still a number 2 running back. Because what he does in the pass game, you know, don't overlook that. You know, he had 4 catches, 47 yards. He had a ton of targets in the game. And with how Mariota's operating right now, you know, he's not escaping. So what is he going to do? He's going to check down. And so that's going to be where you see it worked in Eric Decker's favor. It certainly worked in Murray's favor.
Yeah, that was nice. This 6 catches in Murray's first 4 games, but now 2 straight games with 4 catches. So 8 in his
right.
last
that,
2.
That separates him a little bit from Henry.
Carlos Hyde or DeMarco Murray rest of season?
Hyde.
I would go with Hyde.
CJ Anderson or DeMarco Murray?
Anderson.
Okay. DeMarco Murray or FanDuel?
FanDuel.
Yeah, definitely FanDuel. Sign up right now on FanDuel.com. Use our promo code CBSPOD. Do it. Go. Not a bad FanDuel week for me. How'd you guys do?
I did not succeed.
I haven't checked.
Okay, well, I did well. I cashed in my 50-50. 2 in a row. 4 out of 5. All right, I'm feeling it. I really think
you're feeling it.
I'm feeling it, but I never had him in a FanDuel lineup. I do think that by listening to this podcast, you're going to have a good chance to win money on FanDuel. You're going to have an edge on the competition. FanDuel is all about matchups. It's about finding the best bargains. You're given a fake salary cap, Every player has a dollar value. You fit the best lineup in your budget. And finding those hidden gems, that's the fun part. I love that part. Winning money is not the best part for me, honestly. I don't really care about the money. Some people do, and that's great. I just love the thrill of playing fantasy football. So whether you're in it for the cash or just in it to play more, I mean, my brother-in-law plays for like a dollar every week, and he just loves playing. You know, he doesn't have time for seasonal, so he just plays a FanDuel lineup every week. It's a great way to not have to worry about injuries or bye weeks. Play on FanDuel, win some cash, have some fun, play some more fantasy football. And if you sign up, make sure you use the promo code CBSPOD for free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, over $1 million in cash prizes. That's FanDuel.com, promo code CBSPOD, void where prohibited. Time for the drop-o-meter. Not sure what that was all about. Sorry, everybody. But it is time for the drop-o-meter. Okay, Sammy Watkins, 0 to 10.
Oh, God, like 7.
I want to, and I know I said that Peterson's expected to play. If Peterson is out, and originally, Adam, you know, I sent you notes, I had Watkins in there. But if he's out, and they're rolling out, you know, they're talking about benching Justin Bethel, which is the smart thing to do. But if they have to play him, then wherever that guy lines up, Jared Goff has to attack. Has to.
Oh, good. So that means a big week for Sammy. He's going to get like 50 yards.
Or he could have the 100-yard touchdown game that he's already had once a year.
Don't be ridiculous.
I think if you just want to hold him through the end of the week to see what happens. If you want to drop somebody on Saturday, he could be somebody you drop. But hold him for now. So I'll say 3 right now. 10 by Saturday, if Peterson plays.
I would say he's not a must drop. If you need the roster spot, though, he's probably one of the first guys you go.
Oh, if you tell me Peterson was healthy, he's dropped now.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
I'm just going to say, like, is Robert Woods better than Sammy Watkins?
He is this week.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned Robert
Woods. If Peterson plays.
Yeah.
And even if Peterson doesn't.
Woods leads the team in targets. Watkins
is
tied for fourth.
You take the 6 or 7 points compared to the 0.
Right. I'm not sure Woods is going to score a touchdown. He hasn't done that yet. But like I said, leads a team in
every. They have the same amount of 100-yard games, and it happened in the same game.
He leads a team in every receiving category except for catches. He's one behind Todd Gurley. But Robert Woods is their leading receiver. It's surprising. Okay, same team. Cooper Kupp in a 10-team league. How droppable is Cooper Kupp?
Is it PPR or non-PPR? Because I think he's still got value in PPR. So I'll say 5 in PPR. And 8 in non-PPR.
I'll say 7 in both.
And that's tailored to a 10-team league, or that's for everything?
Any league. Mm-hmm. 14 okay. league, team league, you're going to keep him, but he's cuttable.
Andre Ellington.
0.
Oh, I might cut him in a non-PPR league now.
Yeah.
I'm like 8 in a non-PPR and a 2 in a PPR for now.
Corey Davis.
I mean, look, there's a report of him coming back soon. So at this point, if you've been holding him, you hold him.
He could be back week 9 when they come out of the bye against Baltimore.
That's 2 more weeks, though.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's in the same conversation as Sammy Watkins. How badly do you need the roster spot?
That's Corey Davis.
And I'll tell you what, if I've got a nice winning record and I've got good receivers, I'm dumping Sammy Watkins in a heartbeat for Corey Davis.
Okay. From Michael Foster, I dropped Terrell Pryor for a rotten egg Bean Boozle.
Yeah, Pryor's getting close.
All right, where is Pryor? If Watkins is like a 7, what's Pryor?
A 7.
Yeah. And they just,
I can't argue against it anymore.
Cousins has just been doing a great job of using all of his guys, and Chris Thompson's been the best one. And, you know, Jordan Reed stinks.
Yep.
Crowder stinks.
Yep.
Pryor stinks.
Yep.
Doxson's got promise, but he's just not consistent. So, it's tough.
Okay, how about Gilly Boy and Beast Mode in PPR? A lot of nicknames.
I would say both are no. Gillisley is like a 6, and Marshawn is like a 4.
Okay.
I mean, you still need to start running backs. They might not be the most ideal guys, but...
Yeah, I would say...
Not cutting him.
Gillisley in a 10-team league, you cut. Certainly PPR league. Lynch, no.
Bilal Powell.
I wouldn't cut him. 0.
He's a 3 or 4. I mean, again, you know, if you need the roster spot, who knows when he's going to play again. Calf injuries, soft tissues, they tend to linger. And look, before Forte went down, he was terrible.
Yeah, he hadn't done much.
Yeah, no, well. I'm going to say 7.
Yeah, all right. I dropped him last week.
No, and don't worry about getting, not getting.
He might. It's a deep league. But, okay, on the waiver wire, let's go to quarterbacks. So you're going to be without Rodgers, probably not Winston, but maybe Winston, maybe Simeon. Both those guys look like they're going to play. As I mentioned, Andrew Luck is 78% owned, so he could be available. Not a bad time to get him. Tyrod Taylor is the head of the class for sure. And C.J. Beathard, Jamie has number 2. Andy Dalton, more long-term than this week, because Pittsburgh's been very good against quarterbacks. And look, they hadn't played anybody, and the best guy they've faced is Alex Smith. But still, we think they have a good defense. So it's Taylor, it's Beathard against Dallas. It's Andy Dalton. It's Jared Goff. Jared Goff is facing Arizona. They do allow the 5th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Kind of interesting. And maybe we need to pay more attention to this, because especially if Peterson's banged up. Should Goff be a little higher, Jamie? What do you think?
If Peterson's banged up, then yes. But again, he's expected to play. So I know I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth with this, because not drop Watkins because he's expected to play, but hold on to Watkins because he may be out. But he still has a chance that he may not play. But in terms of Goff, look, he's when he's had favorable matchups, you know, the Dallas game being the last one, 22 fantasy points. He had the 28-point game the week before that against San Francisco, favorable matchup. But we've also seen him, you know, lean on their run game when they've had the chance to. And Arizona's run defense has been good more times than not, but this is still, I think, what the Rams want to be, which is run the ball, throw when they have to, and Goff is still more of a number 2 quarterback. I would start Beathard this week over Goff, but they're very close.
He hasn't had a completion percentage higher than 58% in his last 3 games, which is crazy because he started the season with 2 games over 70%.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's really changing there.
Well, let me just say this.
He's
like,
not doing great.
If I'm, you know, I myself, Adam Azer, more of the everyday average Joe fantasy player. I can't. Average Joe fantasy player is going to have a tough time starting C.J. Beathard. You know, if I see a guy who's at least done something, Jared Goff, if anybody drops Roethlisberger, I'd be on that over C.J. Beathard.
Oh, I agree with that. But I think at some point, look, and we fell victim to this, you know, I think as a group with Kevin Hogan, you know, buying into garbage time production and potential good matchup. And Beathard, the thing I think with Beathard is twofold. One, you've seen Brian Hoyer put up some good stats, so there could be some potential long-term appeal here because of what Kyle Shanahan has done. And the other part of it is Dallas is not very good defensively. They're getting healthier. They're getting better. You could buy into that. But I think you're just talking about a guy that's – none of these guys are outside of Taylor are number one quarterbacks. Like Taylor, I think you could consider number one guy because of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they're all number 2 dart throws. None of them are – These are Rodgers replacements in a 2 quarterback league. Like Dave said, you know, they're not finding somebody off waivers that's going to help you replace Aaron Rodgers. Again, maybe Tyrod because of who he's facing this week and then what the schedule is moving forward.
Yeah, Tyrod and last year Tyrod Taylor threw 17 touchdown passes and 12 of them came at home. And we've already outlined that he's been good in 2 home games this
year. And 3
year.
Of his next 4 are at home.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting. So Tampa Bay, Oakland, then at the Jets, then New Orleans. Actually, that's not bad for Tyrod
right.
Taylor. I guess, I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor this, but I would be of the mind to start Trevor Siemian over Beathard, just because I feel like I can get 15 points from Siemian, and I might get 3 from Beathard. I'm worried that
really
Beathard,
what has Siemian done since the second week
he's
of the
just,
season?
He'll give me 15 points. I'm not expecting much. I'm very concerned that Beathard is just awful.
I think if you're forced to start one of those guys, and pretty much any quarterback that we've named, you're not trying hard enough to make a trade.
Yeah, and there's only 2 quarterbacks on bye. So let's hope you're starting the guy you drafted and you don't have Aaron Rodgers. That would be bad. I guess I'm kind of intrigued by Brett Hundley. He sure does have good weapons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if Ty Montgomery catches that touchdown, which he should have,
mm-hmm.
It's not as ugly a stat line as it came away with.
Yeah.
I think he's a good game manager. You know, Aaron Rodgers is amazing, and then you've got your great quarterbacks, and then you've got good quarterbacks. I think Hundley will be close to good, and I think a good week for him could be 18 fantasy points.
Maybe Josh McCown gets you 15, 16 fantasy points, doesn't kill you this week at the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, he was 15 the last time that they faced each other, and he scored 17 or more, I think, in 3 of his last 4.
Well, I think we should focus more on the running backs. This is a really interesting group. So, okay, McFadden. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Rob Kelly, he's out there in 31% of leagues. Would you rather pick up Rob Kelly or Darren McFadden?
I think McFadden's got a little more sizzle to him now.
Again.
And I think you can trade him now to help your team.
If 4 o'clock comes and Ezekiel Elliott is not suspended, I'm picking up Rob Kelly. As of we're talking right now, I'm picking up Darren McFadden.
Gotcha. What about Rob Kelly or Alfred Morris?
Kelly.
It's the same thing.
Okay. So other guys to consider, Thomas Rawls and or Eddie Lacy. They face the Giants this week, who up until the Denver game did not do well against running backs. Rawls is 56% owned. Lacy's 34% owned. Arlen Darkwa is 9% owned. I guess we don't really need Wayne Gallman at this point.
No.
You can stash him in deeper leagues.
Alex Collins, 15 carries for 74 yards after 12 carries for 55. He's not catching any passes, but he's getting more and more work. And Collins is averaging 6.4 yards per carry. And in that, he's actually faced some pretty good run defenses.
He does better when the matchup's worse.
And the matchup's pretty awful this week. Am I wrong? They're Minnesota this week? Yeah. Minnesota gives up the second fewest points. Then the Dolphins give up the seventh fewest.
This game sets up as more of a Javoris Allen game.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not picking up Alex Collins to start him this week.
No, it's Dashkin.
This is a guy I'm sitting on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been saying this for 3 weeks now that you should have been sitting on.
Yeah. It's time to talk about Deion Lewis, guys. 21% owned. You know, maybe you're going to start taking over as a lead back there. What do you think, Deion Lewis?
He's been a starter, I think, for the last 3 weeks. So it's not like they haven't been trying to get him touches early. It's just he hasn't gotten the touches that you typically look for. Like, I like James White a lot this week. I think he's their best running back against the Falcons. But Lewis is second, and if Gillislee can't get the job done and now he's fumbling, you know, he talked about it. He's like, I can't put the ball on the ground on this team. And you saw the result. He was benched until the end of the game.
So, I thought it was amazing he even came back in.
I totally agree. So,
but the reason why I think he did is because I think the Patriots are scared to overuse Deion Lewis.
As they should. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a 15-plus carry guy. But in the 8 to 12 touches that he may get in a game like this where he can be a dual threat. Look, he's their closest thing right now with Burkhead banged up to a dual threat guy.
He never catches passes,
though. Doesn't catch
though.
The ball, and they don't want to use White between the tackles.
But they never throw to Deion Lewis. That's the weird thing. We know he can catch. We know he can catch passes. I mean, personally, I think he's a really good player.
I think he is, too, but I also think he's a real brittle player.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So you guys would rather have Alex Collins or Deion Lewis?
Collins.
I would rather have Lewis for this week. I would rather have Collins as a better stash candidate.
Who's better this week, Deion Lewis or Matt Forte?
I feel like Forte's safer.
Lewis is better this week in standard leagues. Forte is better in PPR.
I'm just going to read the names again. The owned in 65% of leagues or less list is McFadden, Rawls, Darkwa, Alex Collins. Eddie Lacy's in this mix, too. Alex Collins, Deion Lewis, Matt Forte, and then Chris Ivory, which is insurance for Leonard Fournette. Deontay Foreman. Wendell Smallwood, and that's where I wanted to go, Jamie. Wendell Smallwood, he's like ninth or something on this list. Kind of a drop for him. How come he's behind, you know, Chris Ivory, Deontay Foreman, Smallwood?
I think just with the thought that he's not going to return. If he's back, then he goes up ahead of these guys.
Okay.
And maybe I'll move him ahead of these guys, but we just don't know when he's going to play.
Ahead of who? Who would you move Smallwood ahead of if he were healthy?
Oh, I'd put him ahead of Foreman. I would put him ahead of...
He might be second best.
Not for me. Rawls is second best. Easy. I think he would be ahead of Ivory. He'd be behind Forte.
Can I just ask a question? What do you see in Thomas Rawls that makes you so confident in him being helpful for fantasy?
If he's the guy, and he had the shake off the rust game last time they played in through their bye week, the one they used on passing downs, played more than Eddie Lacy, he makes the most sense to be their starter. If Chris Carson, I don't think, emerged, Thomas Rawls would be somebody we'd be considering a must-start guy at this point.
Dave, what do you disagree with there?
I think he's not that good. I think the Seahawks are going to mix and match their running backs. I think their offensive line is in terrible shape. and I'm not at all excited.
Okay.
And I can not hide it, but I'm not going to lose any control.
We've got Matt Breida, still not a bad stash candidate, and nope. Samaje Perine, who caught a touchdown.
That yes, week, we all knew that.
Right. That was like week one when Jonathan Stewart caught a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Perine did catch a touchdown, but he had a lot fewer carries than Thompson. And he is now, I think he's below 3 yards per carry. He's around 3 yards per carry this year at Philadelphia.
If you need 2 yards, he can get you two yards. If you need 3 yards, he'll get you 2 yards.
Philadelphia's got a really good run defense, too. So
yep.
Can't wait for that game. Big one on Monday night. All right, so again, I'm just going to read the names just so y'all have it. In shallower leagues, Alfred Morris, Marlon Mack, Derrick Henry, Rob Kelly, Andre Ellington. These are guys that make sense to be on your team. Doesn't mean they should be added ahead of Darren McFadden. But McFadden is in shallower leagues. He's 58% owned, or in deeper leagues, rather. Not super deep, but deeper than the other guys I mentioned. Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, Darkwa, Alex Collins, Deion Lewis, Matt Forte, Chris Ivory, Deontay Foreman, Wendell Smallwood, Matt Breida, Samaje Perine. Who's got the best long-term potential? I'm going to take the Cowboys guys out of this mix because we know what their situation is. But between the Seahawks, the Giants, the Ravens, and everybody should really remember how frustrating the Ravens were last year when they kept, you know, they couldn't get a clear answer. Who's the best guy, Terrence West or, oh gosh, the rookie from last year?
Kenneth Dixon.
You know, every week it seemed like we changed our answer, and that was frustrating. And that's already happened the last 2 weeks between Allen and Collins. But Deion Lewis, Forte, anyway, best long-term potential guys on the waiver wire this week?
Thomas Rawls.
Smallwood.
Okay.
Yeah, Thomas Rawls is the only one on this list that projects to be a starter with a heavy workload.
Wait a minute, what about Orleans Darkwa?
Could be. I just don't.
Changing my answer to Darkwa.
I don't think it's sustainable with Darkwa. So.
Oh, but Thomas Rawls is definitely going to last the rest of the season.
No, but there's more potential for him.
Okay.
Potential to stink.
Well, let's be fair. They both have a lot of potential to stink.
They both do have a lot of potential to stink. But I'm not chasing box scores. That's simply how he ends up losing.
Oh, so Darkwa. I mean, look, the Giants. They, as we mentioned, they changed their offensive. They changed their play caller. They changed their offensive line. It worked. We'll see if it happens again.
Yeah, it worked for one game. They looked really, really good.
Wide receivers. Okay, we've got John Brown, number one. The way we talked about it earlier in the show was for this week, John Brown, Nelson Agholor, and Marquise Lee are the top three priorities for Jamie. John Brown, Nelson Agholor, and Marquise Lee. Long term, it's Marvin Jones, Josh Doctson, and Mike Williams. Other players you could consider would be Kenny Stills facing the Jets if Devontae Parker doesn't play. Ted Ginn and even Willie Snead if he gets dropped at Green Bay. Green Bay's so banged up. Mike Wallace was a major flop last week. 3 catches for 30 yards against the Bears. But, you know, at Minnesota, revenge game. That's not a good matchup. Jordan Matthews, if he plays, would be, I think, really appealing. But you don't have to use waivers on him, right, Jordan Matthews?
No.
Robert Woods is interesting. 10 catches for 133 yards on 15 targets in his last two games. And those games came against Jacksonville and Seattle. And he's got Arizona this week, Robert Woods. He's 6% owned. Taylor Gabriel at New England. Wide receivers kill New England. Robbie Anderson, Jeremy Curley, Jermaine Kearse. They all had good games. Don't drop Matt Ryan, by the way.
Matt Ryan's our start of the week this week.
Oh, nice. You know, this reminds me of when we were talking about DeSean Jackson. He had a bad game going into the game against New England. And we said, no, don't drop DeSean Jackson. You're going to want him against New England. And he had a good game. Benny Fowler, deeper leagues, Benny Fowler, Robbie Anderson, Juju Smith-Schuster. So I said a lot of names there. John Brown, Agholor, Marvin Jones, Marquise Lee, Mike Williams, Josh Doctson, Kenny Stills, Ted Ginn, Mike Wallace, Jordan Matthews, Robert Woods, Taylor Gabriel, Benny Fowler, Robbie Anderson, Juju Smith-Schuster. I know you can't remember all those names. That's why you got to go to CBSSports.com and read the waiver wire column. But Dave, do you want to weigh in? Let me ask you this question. Best long-term potential among the waiver wire wide receivers?
I think it's Doctson. Just because there isn't a standout number one receiver in Washington, and he could potentially fill that role.
More so than John Brown?
More so than John Brown.
Nelson Agholor has been really, really good. Four touchdowns in six games.
It's not an easy call saying Doxon ahead of John Brown and Nelson Agholor.
No, I was pivoting to a separate Nelson Agholor conversation. How much do you buy his production?
I buy it. He's playing a lot. He's getting a good amount of targets. I think he could get consistent really quick. Alshon Jeffery's catching 50% of his targets right now, and he's just not playing great. Agholor is.
This is one of the more interesting ones also because you have the Josh Norman injury. If Norman plays, Agholor looks much better because Breland's out. If Norman's out, both guys look great.
But Agholor plays mostly in the slot. So I don't even know if Breland would move in there anyway.
Shifting their guys around.
I just like the fact that he gets targets outside of the red zone and then finds a way to score. He's done it a few times already this season.
Yeah, that's tough to bank on, though. That's tough
to sustain.
I agree,
but he's been doing it.
Actually, you know what? Let me look up his red zone targets. We'll come back to that in a second. Let's go to tight ends. Tight ends, everybody. Okay, we've got Ryan Griffin and Eric Ebron on a bye. Ouch. We've got Charles Clay still banged up.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm just upset. You know, Ryan Griffin and Eric Ebron on a bye. Did it sound too real?
Yeah, I thought you legitimately like got a paper cut or something.
You know, I have a degree in theater arts, Dave, so put it to good use there. You know, the most demeaning thing I ever had. Forget it.
Because
it's not that good of a story, but it's just a stupid theater exercise I had to do one time in like an acting class.
Did you really major in theater arts?
It was my second major. Yeah, you know how
what
it
was
is.
Your first major?
Broadcast journalism. Nelson Agholor has 5 red zone targets. Actually, not that bad. He has 4 inside the 10, which is actually pretty solid. That's actually very good. 4 targets.
Can you imagine
inside the
Adam
10.
Doing Shakespeare in the park?
I was not an actor. So here are your tight ends. Hoopa.
What'd you go into theater arts for? Like set design?
I sold tickets at the box office. I majored in like the business side. You had to have a second major if you were a communications major at Miami, and so
I went there.
Yes, I picked the easiest one.
I was a communications major myself.
I picked the easiest one. What was your second major?
Creative writing.
That actually is probably more useful for you than theater was for me. So way to take it seriously. All right, Hoopa number one. Would you rather have Witten or Hooper this week?
Hooper.
Okay, Nick O'Leary, number 2 for Jamie, not quite for Dave, but we all see the appeal of Nick O'Leary, who had 5 catches for 54 yards on 6 targets in week 5, and Tampa Bay has allowed a touchdown.
That was in 3 quarters, too.
Okay, so Tampa Bay has allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 2 of their last 3 games. And, we got George Kittle, who nearly scored for his second straight game. He's facing Dallas. Zach Miller, Ed Dixon, and Greg Olsen, not a bad time to stash him, by the way. Vernon Davis, maybe. You never know. Tyler Croft, Dave likes more than Jamie does. And Jonnu Smith.
That's more of a rest of season pick.
Okay. Jonnu Smith, Tennessee's other tight end at Cleveland. So don't drop Delanie Walker, by the way, for this week. I don't know what else there is to say here. It's not a great list, but I think we should throw Jack Doyle on there, guys, actually. What do you think about him this week facing Jacksonville? They allow the 8th most fantasy points to tight ends. Doyle had 7 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown on 11 targets last night.
I just don't want to trust him yet until Luck's back. So if you want to stash him, sure.
Okay, stash Jack Doyle. And what about Martellus Bennett this week? Would you drop Bennett for Hooper? Would you drop Bennett for O'Leary, for Kittle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bennett.
He was already crapola with Aaron Rodgers. How is it going to turn around with Nick Hundley?
No, it's a good point.
Brett Hundley. Who's Nick Hundley? Is that a baseball player?
Yes, Nick Hundley is like a catcher. He was a catcher for the Padres.
I don't know where that came from.
You're all about big Yankees
Padres
Indians.
Catchers, apparently.
Big Yankees Indians game tonight, Dave. Can't wait. Game 8. we talked about basically every DST streamer, but the Bills, the Saints, Giants, Dolphins, Jets, Titans. What about the Rams? Anybody like the Rams this week against Arizona?
They're okay.
58% owned. They're playing better. They're playing better. After they gave up that 75-yard touchdown to Fournette, they shut down the Jags. Dave, you have a favorite this week?
What's up?
You have favorite DST?
Saints.
Saints over Bills?
Against Randy Hundley.
Over the Bills?
Yeah, over the Bills.
Okay. And emails. Do a few here from Alex in Texas. The Aaron Rodgers owner is in first place. I offered him, he doesn't have a quarterback. I offered him Mariota and Delanie Walker for Travis Kelce. He didn't bite, but he made the mistake of saying he's going to get Carson Palmer off waivers. Needless to say, I'm going to get Palmer out of spite. Should I try to get more? I don't know what that means. In trade?
Yeah. All's fair in love and war.
Yeah, get Palmer. Right, and then make him another trade offer, yeah.
Yes.
By the way, I don't know that I wouldn't have done that trade if I was... Well, if you think you can get Palmer, then yeah, it's fine to keep Kelce. But after that, I would probably trade Kelce for Mariota, basically, and Walker. You have to, right? I mean, for the Rodgers owner?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we got here. This is
from
Will in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Thanks, Dave. Dear Sally, Jesse, and Raphael. Very funny. PPR league, I own CJ Anderson. Who should I target in trade if I want to trade CJ Anderson before he loses targets, loses touches, or gets hurt? I'd say not anyone, but I'd aim high with CJ Anderson.
It's just hard coming off the game that you just had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should definitely bounce back this week, and then you might want to make that trade offer. All right, that's it. We'll try to read more emails tomorrow. We'll do some buy low, sell high. This has been your Waiver Wire show. Good luck waiver wiring, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.